Episode 299, May 15th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with
the
countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show, full house tonight. Myself, Joe Robinson, Robbie Robinson, Marcus Serta, the four whitest guys you know. Robbie, you missed last week's show, so I'm always curious your critique, your thoughts on how we did.
I thought it was pretty good, and I especially loved the ranking of the old people's sexual positions, and I thought that the water hike in that canyon sounded like fucking torture.
So just so you'll know, we talked about the old people ranking of the old people's sexual position, and that was the impetus was Gramps. I guess he had a 69 offer from one of the inner city girls. Anyway, but the point is that my father had no issue with that. When I saw him, what do you think his big bugaboo was? What do you think? What problem do you think he had?
He wanted more Gramps stories.
I said he was 77. He's 74. That was the problem.
Did he give a ranking of old people sexual positions?
No, I didn't.
Being a member of the group.
No, I didn't. It wasn't appropriate being Mother's Day and all. I thought maybe we could do it right now in chat.
Well, at what age do you think? Because I think men, obviously, the younger you are, the more likely you are to brag, maybe women to brag about a conquest or brag about crazy sex last night. At what point, like, guys in their 70s aren't doing that, or are they just bragging that they had sex?
Yeah, like if you're in like a, this is true, you know, there's been like this huge like epidemic of venereal diseases in like nursing homes because old people are just going crazy. They're going to town. Most of them are single because their partners have died. And what do they got to lose? You know, like if a plane's getting ready to go down, you know, like in the movie Airplane, people start, you know, hooking up. I mean, they're on death's door.
I like that your reference of a plane going down was the movie Airplane.
Was that a documentary?
So do you think like there's women that there's women in nursing homes that like that have reputations of being easy?
You know, Rose. Yeah, or they don't even know where they are. Then, of course, that's probably rape.
Way to take it dark, Joe.
Geriatric rape.
Having a nice conversation about slutty seniors, and then you took it down that dark path. Speaking of sex,
if you're a senior and you're trying to dress provocatively, do you cover up more?
No,
you have to
I
be
think
disgusting naked, right?
I think your provocativeness is from like your jewelry, maybe.
Oh, I see.
Or you're putting on perfume. your it's your accessories. You're not wearing any like tight fitting things or low cut. You're not showing off your body. I think you're just trying to get yourself dolled up. You got some perfume on, some nice earrings. You're putting on makeup.
What did Rue McClanahan do in the Golden Girls to be the hot, the slutty one? What did she do?
Well, I think that was a lot of that attitude, a lot of sass.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she brought that. And she pulled it off. I got to give her credit. She's an attractive woman. Tawanda went to the sex. Yes, she went to the sex toy party that we talked about. And I would say that as a general rule, I think that black people are more religious than white people. Do you agree with that?
Percentage-wise, yes.
So she goes to this sex toy party, pretty much all black women there. And, you know, they have some food they put out, whatever, appetizers, chips, cheese, crackers, chicken wings, whatever. And before they had the food, they held hands and said a prayer.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes. So I'm going to turn this into a joke on stage. But they told a prayer. They held hands and said a prayer before the sex toy party, which I think is awesome.
Did she give you an idea of what the prayer was?
Yeah.
Yes. Something to the fact, God, thank you for this food. You're about to bless us. These give us the strength to purchase the right size anal beads. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the hell they said, but I mean, it is funny to me that that's what happened.
And again, I mean, if you're God fearing, then that's fine. I mean, I would encourage, I believe in the power of prayer. There are appropriate times though, I guess, like, but I guess when is it not appropriate? Okay. I mean, by the way, if you're there's nothing wrong. I don't think that the Bible frowns upon you. Are you allowed to masturbate? Actually, I think there is something about spilling seed. I do think you're not supposed to do that.
I don't know. Those pages are stuck together in my Bible. But I'm bummed. So she did buy some playing cards that have different sexual positions on them.
What do you so shuffle guess, them and then?
Yeah, you pick a card, any card.
Are they illustrated, Rob?
So they are, and they give a degree of, I don't know if it's a degree of difficulty or a degree of pleasure, but it's out of five. Probably difficulty.
In the 69 card, is there a picture of Gramps and some black woman?
There is. Yes, there is. all right, I'll go through some. The joyride, okay? Experimental position, there is a role reversal with thrusting. So he's on his back and she's on top of him. Okay, his thighs form a V shape and she pivots at her knees up and down. Uh-huh. So he basically has, she's like squatting on him. He has his legs around her, above each of her thighs and under her breasts, essentially. Called joyride.
Are these pictures, are these illustrations, or are there two people in there doing this?
They're animated illustrations.
Okay, got it. Are they hot illustrations, or do they look like, you know, are they strange looking?
It's interesting because the person who made these cards, it's Candy Burris. She's one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's also an R&B singer. She's black. Every single animation is of white people. Whatever. Tuck and Grind, which is the original name for our show, which is funny.
Can I try to figure out what that is?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I know what a tuck is. That's where you tuck your cock and balls and you make yourself look like you have a vagina. That's the tuck, yeah, right?
You're on the wrong path. You're on the wrong path with that.
I know what the grind is. All right, help me out. I don't know. What is it?
All right, well, she is on a chair. Lying on her back on the chair, the chair sideways, so she's got her head off of the side. He is standing, and she has her legs up on his torso. This position provides a lot of friction on his penis. She lies with her back on a chair or bed, their legs straight up. He kneels and spreads her legs for penetration, then squeezes them back together and holds them while he thrusts.
Now, these, like those a lot
are
of work.
Yeah. Now, here's the push-up king. Looks basically like, well, the worst thing ever. It's missionary, but he combines doing push-ups. This is
God, screw that. I'm not doing that.
Right. In this position, the man supports himself with his arms and slowly penetrates through her open thighs. He should focus on the core muscles in his pelvic floor and groin while doing push-ups strictly with these inner pelvic muscles. No, thank you.
Well, I can only do 10 push-ups. What? This is going to be real brief. I'll probably be done anyway.
Yeah. Well, here's one we can't do. Deep penetration. Nope. Can't do that one.
Nice. Okay,
yep. Arched leg wrap. He uses a cushion or his hands to raise her pelvis to better expose her clitoris. His thrusts stimulate the clitoris more directly, and she achieves a better orgasm. Pretty standard stuff. The lusty lap dance. She offers him a lusty lap dance by grinding his penis while he is seated in a seated position. No, he is not allowed to touch.
Oh, that's so good. So she just sit there. Oh, right. I like that. Doing no work. Okay.
The remote, yeah. Okay, standing ovation. No chance. A great position when you wish to add a little variety into your lovemaking. The couple stands facing each other. She can adjust the angle of penetration depending on how high she wraps her legs around his thigh. Both she and he share in thrusting movements. If the guy's going to have to hold the woman up, and that's a job in itself. You can't expect anything else after that. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, how long do you want this to last? If I'm having to hold you, then yeah.
So, easy entry. I like this one.
Okay, go ahead. Read that one.
Yeah. She does 7 shots of fireball. No. She leans back and raises her vagina, holding her legs in a V shape. Okay, this is just her legs only back. Like, he supports her lower back with pillows if she desires more comfort. He is on all fours and able to enter her vagina more easily. Therefore, he can engage in longer thrusts, which is what we all want.
What is there anything where the guy doesn't have to move at all?
Yeah, I'm sure there is here. Bouncing lady. The woman either squats or kneels on the top of her lover. It controls the angle of entry for his penis into her vagina. She bounces and adjusts the angle of her movement to best satisfy her needs.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the squatting flower. He lies flat and the woman kneels on top of him. She controls the angle of penetration and engages in a swirl movement. He supports her legs or can also help control her movements by firmly holding onto her pelvis and helping guide her movement.
Are there any regular cards like blowjob? Is that in there? Doggy style?
I'm looking at doggy style right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, animals mating. He's just taking her from behind us. You're both standing.
Who opened the cards, you or Tawanda?
She opened them just now for the purposes of reading them on the show. So she goes, oh, yeah, I got those cards. They just came in the mail. She ordered them at the thing, so she didn't come
home.
What'd
they cost?
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. But I don't know. Probably 10, 15 bucks, I would guess. Maybe 20.
Worth every penny.
Worth every penny, yes. So, Robbie, those are just normal for you?
Yeah, the push-up one, that was the only one I don't think I've tried.
Yeah. Well, you're not known for your core strength.
No, what about that rowing machine? Give him, come on.
Oh, that's right. we went to Metallica together, Tawanda and I, and it was the night the Caps played the Game 7 and the Wizards. It was the night the Caps lost, let's be honest. And that's, you know, it sort of took away some of the enjoyment of trying to monitor that and watch the show. Plus, there was a Penguins fan nearby. And it was just, I don't know. If they won, it would have been the best concert I've ever been to. But they didn't.
Well, I said a couple things. I said it on this show, and I also said it that night. You're probably the biggest sports fan I know. And I also think probably. That... The Caps, it was probably this Redskins number one, but maybe the Caps 1A or maybe the Caps are above the Redskins as your favorite sports team. And
Redskins are my favorite, but the Caps have never won, so I feel like that would maybe bring me the most joy.
And the Caps are not only the best team in hockey, but now they've come back in a series where all they have to do is win this game at home and they advance. And probably if they win this game, they probably win the Stanley Cup. And they're
clear favorite at that point.
You did not want to be at a Metallica concert. I knew you didn't. And I know you're being a good boyfriend and you're, you know, but you didn't want to be there. But it ended up being, you got lucky. You got lucky that you were there, because to watch that game was agony, and that would have been miserable for you. So there is a little bit of a silver lining, but, you know, you didn't want to be at Metallica. So, stop even implying that you did. You didn't. This is a huge day for you. You wanted to be watching the game.
Well, I feel like, you know, if the Caps win, it sort of erases all these memories, the bad memories of them losing. You go back to a clean slate, because you'd ask any Cubs fan or any Red Sox fan, part of the reason they enjoyed their World Series win so much is because they endured all those years of losing.
No, you're right.
So that made it sweeter.
You do make a great point, because the Red Sox, nobody even talks about that streak anymore because they've won two.
Three, I think.
They broke. Is it three? Yeah. I mean, they've won multiple. They've been super competitive. They've won multiple World Series, and now you don't even think about it anymore. But I'm sure it's all thinking about the Caps sucking. I'm remembering that.
Remember when you had your 98 Rock, you were doing that thing on BAO at night, and you wanted to have someone on to talk about, you know, because Tebow was playing
sports psychologist to talk about the idea of you having being a winner. Is that a real thing? Can you be a winner? Now, obviously you have talent, but in the case of Tebow, he was probably the worst quarterback in the league and he was winning. And we were just trying to figure out, you know, why that was the case.
And to that point, can a city be a winner? Cause I do believe that the fact that DC is on a streak of blowing it or losing big games at home or not getting over the hump. And that is a narrative that is spoken about a lot in the media, a lot amongst fans. And I do think that the players hear that and they go, you know, they're not robots. They go out, they go do their dry cleaning and they talk to the guy and they can sense that guy at the dry cleaners thing. Hey, you hope you guys can win, as opposed to you guys are going to kill them. They're at the stadium. They can see people's faces. They can feel the vibe of not this confidence, like they're visiting teams in this place where we're going to just crush you. There's hesitancy. There's this fear of, oh my God, here we go again. And I do think that seeps into, I don't believe in curses, but I do think that seeps into the mindset of the players, and it does make it harder to get over that hump.
Of course, you know, I'm better at this show when my mindset is in one place versus another, you know, but I don't believe in karma, but I do believe in streaks and patterns. I do believe there's an energy and like crap tables get hot. I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that former show announcer Tim is somebody who his involvement in rooting for a team makes it almost impossible for them to win. So much so that can I thank former show announcer Tim? He has agreed so the Washington Wizards are playing a game 7 to go to the conference finals. And I believe the last time the Wizards/Bullets played in the conference finals was 1978 when they won it all. They haven't been in a conference final since then. Am I right about that, Rob?
You are correct.
So Tim agreed to not watch the game. I think that's a very, very noble of him. He agreed to not watch it.
I was just going to say it was nice to not get berated with a bunch of texts during that Caps game when I was at the concert. But then I realized, you know, why you didn't, because you were all together watching. That's why there was no text.
Sitting next to each other. Yeah. And, you know, in that during that game, we were watching three games. We were watching the Caps, who lost, the Wizards, who were getting killed, and then also the Nationals, who were getting killed, all Tim's teams.
Right.
Now, of course, both teams had lost. Tim leaves in disgust, and of course, then as soon as Tim leaves, the Nationals come back and beat the Orioles. So if he can just somehow maintain. Now, if we're texting him and saying, oh my God, they're doing it, he's going to turn it on. So we have to have some radio silence.
Radio silence. I'm all for that. And just think, if they win, we may never have to talk to Tim again. We'll just keep, every time there's a game, we don't have to talk to him. God, that would be the real joy of winning.
If they do win and Tim genuinely didn't watch the game, will he be willing just to not watch at all and take us all the way to an NBA championship? I don't believe he will. I don't think he would. He'll do it.
Now he'll be tempted. He'll watch and not say it, but then we'll know, because once things start to go bad, well, no, Tim must be watching. You turn that TV on in Bethesda. Turn it off, Tim. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Joe, I know you got all kinds of crazy things happening in your life. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under $1 a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, June 21st at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
This is Niecy Harris, America's first African-American bachelorette. I'm listening to The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
We're trying to get Niecy Harris on the show. If we had her on a few years ago, her campaign to become the first black bachelorette, she did not succeed, but there is one, and that show premieres next Monday, May 22nd, the first black bachelorette. We're going to try to do another fantasy league, Tawanda versus Robbie. We really want to, you know, root for Tawanda here. You know, she knows black women. Robbie knows nothing about black women. How could she lose? But we are trying to get her on, correct, Robbie?
Yeah, I think it'll happen. I just, the timeliness of it is a concern, because, you know, we wanted to have her on tonight or next Monday night, obviously.
Well, if available. We can't get her on, yeah, regardless, we want to do the fantasy league. Can you get your black friend Phil in as well?
I'll see if he's interested. I don't think he's a fan of the show.
Okay, because I do like the concept of Robbie against only black people and seeing how he does.
Well, I can get James, my friend, yes, James, to do it. I'm sure you have Tawanda. I'm sure we can round up another black person and they'll play Robbie, and Robbie will dominate him and act like it was completely legit.
Yeah, we'll try to get some more black females. So that's really, yeah, you know, they're going to have the perspective.
Gramps help us out on that.
Yeah, what about Gramps, Robbie, Robbie's black friend Phil, and Tawanda?
That sounds like
Gramps could get some more black women to participate.
Oh, I see. He goes in the 69er and the girl with the antlers. Yeah. Gotcha.
I like it. Let's make that happen. Now, you started texting me the other day, Joe, from something that sounded even worse than when you went to the lecture on opera. Your son's chorus recital?
I can't tell all the stories. Maybe some of the stories will be told on the bonus show, but these are the stories
next week
that I can tell. So first of all, one thing I didn't know, and I'm going to sound like a shitty father, or maybe somebody who would just say this regardless, but I wouldn't, and you know me. My son can sing. I didn't know that. I had never heard him sing. I'd never heard him sing.
Well, come on. He had to, you know, the radio's on. He's singing along.
I never remember hearing him sing. Never. And I sing all the time. And, you know, I mean, I come from a family that sings a lot. Katie's a great singer. Their mom's a great singer. Never heard him sing. So that really surprised me that he was that good. I was expecting him to be horrible. Maybe he really wasn't that good. He was just okay. But since I was expecting nothing, it was way better. Right. But
well, hold on a second. He's in. This is a high school thing, right?
Correct.
So he's in class. He's in chorus. That you didn't occur to you that since he's doing that, he might be able to sing.
Do you know what you have to do to get into chorus?
I know you have to think you can sing.
Well, no, you just sign up. I mean, you have to take an art, and that's the art that he chose to take. Now, look, it didn't occur to me because I figured I would hear my 17-year-old son having sung at one point. But right. I've never heard him sing. And I always assume if he, since he never sings, he just can't sing. I assumed. Sure. It's not like he's shy. Yeah. But anyway, he can't. So he you actually have to audition or compete for these solos, and he was awarded one. Well, then there's a kid next to him who was singing the next solo. Okay. So it was a part of a song where James had a solo and then this other kid next to him had a solo. Well, I'm not sure if it was because, you know, he had problems hearing or whatever, or if it was the piano playing, but he fucked it all up. This kid fucked up his solo. Okay. He had one.
Did he come in wrong? He came in wrong, or he just
came in wrong. He left out wrong. He fucked up in between. Everything was bad. Okay. Now there's a family in front of there's a black lady and her daughter in front of us. And I mentioned that because there is one black boy and one black girl in the audience. And you know me, and it was everything in my power when they were up all the white kids were up there doing the solos for me to say which one is yours, but I didn't. So you guys might be proud of me. It's one of the first time I ever showed discretion. But I saw her with her camera up filming, okay, or videoing or whatever you call it, that you do. And thanks, baby. So she's brought me in some blackberry pie, guys. Anyway, so
nice. So what card is that?
Yeah. the kid, I'm sorry, they're in front, they're filming. Well, they stop filming. Why? Because there's white kids singing. They're not their kids. I swear to God, if this lady would have...
It's not Robbie's girlfriend who films everything. Yeah.
Right. If it was Robbie's girlfriend, if Robbie's girlfriend was there, she would have been on Ellen. But she put the phone down. She didn't capture this kid fucking up. So after he fucked up, he steps back, and it, plain as day, he goes, he mouths, fuck. Like, but he mouths it right in front of the entire audience, right? And we start laughing, and they start laughing. And I said, did you get that? She would have gotten a big check and everything. That kid would have walked up. Oh, man, she blew it. But, yeah, no. She ended up getting nothing out of it. Yeah, they didn't. They ended up not recording that. But, yeah. One of James,
that guy's parents, that kid's parents recorded it.
You know, I always think about that because when I was in high school, the idea of my father thinking that I swore, it was terrifying to me. Now, right. I swore, but I didn't want him to know that I did. Right. It was just, it would have, I thought I would have gotten in serious trouble. Right. So I don't know what grade this kid is in. But, you know, if he's in like the 9th or 10th grade, he's screwed, right? You can't just say fuck on stage. Or maybe the idea that he was even willing to allow that to happen means that, you know, he's allowed to, or they're not going to have a big problem with it. Who knows? Either way, that lady definitely blew her opportunity to be on Ellen. But thanks, babe. Here's the other thing. So there is a kid up on stage, and remember, this is an entire white audience, and they're not singing songs like they sang one song that I heard, and it was Banana Pancakes by Jack Johnson. Probably the whitest song that ever existed. But in addition to that, you know, all the other songs were like from Godspell and all these just artsy, you know, the whitest songs that you could possibly sing. Okay. There's one song they're singing, and they bring up a white guy and he starts beatboxing. Okay.
What?
This isn't a white guy. This guy.
That's his solo. It was a beatboxing.
This guy doesn't look like Birdman, right? He looks like an accountant. He looks like he is coming there to do some algorithms. And all of a sudden he's like, and he's doing the beatbox. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? And they're singing, and this guy's beatboxing. It's not a song that's conducive to beatboxing in any way, right? And there's nothing. This isn't a Fat Boy song, right? This isn't a Dougie Fresh song. This is something from some...
Joe Robinson just said this isn't a Fat Boy song. This is a good episode.
So, anyway, well, that's where the beatbox comes. Okay, the human beatbox.
I hear
right,
you. Dougie Fresh was the good reference.
Right. Anywho.
I'll give you credit, yeah.
So... after it's all over, we go and we have go get food with James, and we're like, who is that kid doing the beatbox? He goes, well, that wasn't a kid. I go, what is that, a teacher? He goes, no, just some guy they brought in. Okay, so this guy's not on staff. He's not a student. He is a friend of the teacher. who they brought as a guest beatboxer. By the way, you don't have any black people that can come and do this. You have to get the whitest guy alive, and he comes in there and he beatboxes. Now, this was again my favorite part of this concert was, of course, my son being an amazing singer.
And what song did he sing?
I couldn't tell you. Something about Mara. I don't know. The Wind Cries Mara. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. You did Song of Mira or something. I don't know what it is, but I Googled it and I still didn't know what it was.
No, you don't know any of these songs except for Banana Pancakes. By the way, another thing about Banana Pancakes.
I don't know
Pancakes,
that one either.
You know if you heard it, but it was a duet. Okay, now, there's only like, maybe there's 13 songs in the show. They brought in another kid to sing Banana Pancakes. He's not in the chorus. I'm not kidding. They just brought in another kid.
Could Robbie have joined in and sang his song? The Bad Touch?
Well, I'm not saying these people weren't good singers. They were. It's not that they were bad. It's like, why are people that aren't in the chorus involved? But this kid who sang Banana Pancakes was, I swear to you, now they're on stage. He's wearing a long coat. He's wearing a coat. You know what I'm saying? He's on stage.
Trench coat?
Like a trench coat, like a cloth long trench coat. So first of all, he's not in the chorus. Second of all, he's weird as fuck. So you don't need to involve this kid in what's going on in this performance. But they ushered him in to wear his coat and not be in the chorus and perform. But either way, they were all really good. I was actually really impressed with the voices. There was just a lot of chicanery going on. Two other stories of which I will tell on the bonus show next week.
I got a question for you. Let's say murder mystery star Eric Woodworth shows up. How long could he get through the song about banging the sex toy, the doll?
I don't mean, I have no answer to that.
I mean, he starts off, it's fine. But once he gets to the chorus where it takes a turn, I mean, is someone going to run on stage? Because he'll keep going.
Yeah, no, of course he will.
Are they going to pull the plug?
They'll pull the plug. Yeah, they'll pull the plug. You know exactly when it happens. When he's like, well, now I got this plastic. As soon as he says that line, they scramble up and they cut his mic. That's pretty simple.
Let's say that no one knows he's affiliated with you at all. Would you enjoy that moment or be just terrified?
If I was there and I saw that starting, I'd leave.
What would be worse, that he does that or he does an abortion song?
I mean, what's the difference? I mean, both songs are they're both cringeworthy. One is, again, depending on if you're singing them in church, they're the same thing. If you're singing them in that show that, you know, at Brightbox, well, then clearly one's better than the other. But this is not an appropriate place for this. I mean, although it was hilarious when that kid said, fuck, I don't know how much trouble he's going to be in.
What if Tommy Cimbazzo comes out in his Ricky Rude outfit? Which includes a wig and tight pants with something in his pants to make him look like he's really packing. Can he get through the entire song without, if he just sings it straight, would that get up with the thrusting and everything?
I think he get through the song. Then there'd be complaints after.
Could Eric get through Wrecking Ball when he basically gets down to his tidy whities?
I don't think so. But who's going to get him off stage? One of the chorus dads?
I'm telling you, if that happens, there's no way I'm leaving. I am staying. I have to see how this ends. And I got my phone and I'm shooting it with the black family. It would be as well. So now if I'm you, I'm thinking to myself, what else can my kid do that I don't know about? Because clearly you don't know your son very well.
I think I know him pretty well. That's really on him that he's never sung in front of me.
Is he now going to sing? Because I'm sure you told him that he was great and all that. So maybe now he's got the confidence.
Maybe he doesn't know, because I would have said that regardless. You understand? If he sucked, I would have said that regardless. It's not, like me and you and Robbie where we can just tell the truth and shit on each other. You know, we have to, you know, I got to be delicate. But he was good. I wouldn't say a word about it if he was bad.
Can we have him on the show to sing? And
if he will, sure. Him? Yeah. What do you want him to sing? The Bad Touch?
Oh, no, that would be good. I do want him to sing a song that we know. Yeah, not a Sunno song or this, whatever the hell he sang. Well, good for him.
Well, that's what was weird. Hold on. Sorry. I took a bite of a blackberry pie. Give me one second.
Yeah, I'm glad you're taking this shit seriously. So
the teacher, I thought was a student. I didn't know she was a teacher. She looked like, she might be 20 years old. Okay. So why are all these shit songs being sung? Why aren't they singing cool songs that people know? You understand? I want to hear a song I know. One more time.
I don't think they had a say. I'm guessing they had to choose from a list of songs.
No way.
Otherwise, they sang contemporary things.
No chance. No. I've heard concerts where they play contemporary things all the time.
Really? You go to a lot of high school chorus recitals?
I got bad news for you. I've been to a lot more of those shows than I care to discuss. Matter of fact, when my kids were in private school, you had to play an instrument. And I think, I can't even remember what Joey played the trombone. And I even said, I go, that's the only instrument that you're guaranteed to not get chicks with if you're great at it. So nice choice. And then James played the drums. That's what they played. And they were both okay. Rob's physical therapist is saying, stop eating Joe in chat. Sorry about that. Anyway, but hearing them play, it was fine. You can't hear them. There's 30 other people playing. But then you have to sit through 3 hours of shit. You know, you have to hear the first grade play.
It does. Yeah, I don't care anymore. I want to talk about you eating. Robbie, it is interesting that, she gave him food while he was sitting there, while he's doing the show.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to interrupt the flow.
They're so comfortable. They're just, Katie watches Joe and's like, he's not busy. He's just doing the podcast. Here's food.
But then it's also blackberry the environment. Pie, so I have to eat it.
What it goes bad? It's a Mission Impossible.
Yeah, wait another half an hour.
Disrupts.
Joe.
Well, the problem is there's ice cream in it.
Yeah, but don't serve it to you right in the middle of you talking on the air.
Can't be in the freezer.
That's an issue that you have with Katie, not with me.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do have it.
I'm almost done.
Is she going to have sex with you while you're doing the show?
That would be fine with me.
Yes. Is she going to do one of these cards? Do I have to pull?
That would be less disgusting than him eating on the air.
I'll be just as distracted if that's happening.
I also, Tawanda also got some body oil. This one tastes like pina colada.
You going to use it?
Well,
he's going to drink it straight out of the bottle.
Drink out of it. Yeah, just do shots of it. Yeah, she's talking to the wrong person. You can't name it after alcohol.
Oh, Scott Bergson in chat said Katie should have sex with Joe on the bonus show.
That would be good. Yeah, can you guys do that for us?
I'm in.
All right, deal. I saw Scott Bergson, if that's really him. He, Mr. Golfer Extraordinaire, was in town this past weekend, and I had a show in Silver Spring, and he showed up, you know, once again, proving that he is the better Bergson.
How'd you do?
I had a good set. It was a good show, actually. I'm glad he saw that it was a good show, top to bottom.
So, who else was on the show? Anybody? Any friends of the Rob and Joe show?
No. Russ Green and Paris Sachet, two very funny DC comedians. And then they had a girl, this woman, she was real new. She's very nice. But she, you know, when you're green or when, you know, you're a rookie, you don't know. There's, you know, she had a question that she asked me, which is fine because she didn't know any better. But she asked me, is the mic going to be on when I go up there? And so I'm thinking, well, as the MC, sometimes you got to turn the mic on. Then I'm like, wait a minute, you're going first? She goes, no.
I said, the guy's not going to introduce you, then turn the mic off. I mean, what kind of a dick would that be? So I was like, no, once the mic is on, it stays on the entire show. But good for
Scott
her.
Scott said you killed, and he also said Gramps would have loved Paris.
Yeah, Paris is a sexy, sassy black woman with some attitude. Got a cool vibe about her.
Her name is Paris Sachet. That's a giveaway, Rob.
Yeah. I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, and she's gotten really funny. So
Paris Sachet got funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hear people talking about how funny she is, and I just hadn't seen her in a while, and I would like to give the stamp of approval as well, not that it means anything. But yeah, then we went out afterwards, and we went to this bar, and Paris, because, you know, she doesn't drink beer, she goes, well, they serve liquor there, right? I go, of course they do. By the way, I've never been there in my life. I have no idea. We get there, they just serve beer. So I don't even know why I said that. I had never heard of the place, knowledge of their menu. They had some, like, I forget what she got, some cidery thing or something, or I don't know. She didn't really like it, but, you know, we hung out. And then Scott bitched to me about his first world problems, about, you know, playing too much golf at Congressional. I mean, the life he lives. It's just
his shoulder hurt. His shoulder was hurting from too much golf.
Yeah. And all these chicks, you know, he's getting set up with. I mean, he's just living this life that Mac is over here probably just jealous of, having a wife and kids and living, you know, he lives right near the parents. I mean, poor Mac's over here dealing with family life and parents. And Scott's over here playing golf and banging chicks. So. Good for him.
So for Mother's Day, what did you do? Did you go see your mom?
My mom was out of the country, so I did not see her.
Lucky you.
And I know her birthday is coming up in June 2nd, so we're going to do like a combination thing. So I've, you know, nailed two holidays, knocking it out in one visit. So that's good.
I went to brunch to hang out with Katie's family. And, of course, you know, her dad, he likes to, of course, you already know he tried to ruin our relationship by sending flowers to our house.
Yep. Big fan of him.
And he also likes to shit on me, which is hilarious, but he does. So I take a lot of pride in our murder mystery. As a matter of fact, our murder mystery is going to be in Kuwait next month.
Yep.
That's correct for you out there. It's going to be myself, Rob, Justin Schlegel, Tommy Sambazo and Eric Woodworth, all going to Kuwait, and we're going to be doing the murder mystery. But her father, he doesn't believe it. He said, no, you're not. And I said to him, I go, no, well, yeah, we are. He goes, no, that show's not going to, no, it's not happening. I go, yes, it is. What, do you think I'm lying? He goes, yeah, I think you're lying. I said, I'm not lying.
Now, does he not think we are in Jordan?
That's what I said to him. I go, when you know we were in Jordan, he goes, well, anybody can take pictures. You think we're just Dan Nining-ing this thing where we just pretend we're different places?
So he really doesn't. Now, why does he not believe it? Because does he not believe in our show? Does he just think we're just losers?
I think he doesn't believe in me. So that's just, he's like, there's no way that you're funny enough to have your show go over to an Air Force base or whatever. Yeah, he doesn't believe.
But he does believe in his daughter of being a great catch, I would imagine. And he has to believe you have some ability.
No.
Well, look, has to know that his daughter is a successful, smart, college educated, good job having attractive woman that she, you know, is some loser's not going to be able to call her his woman. He has to know that, right?
I guess. I mean, you would think so, right? I don't know. Maybe it's shtick. He does like stick giving it to me. But but we will. I mean, how are we going to prove it, though? I mean, how am I going to prove I'm over there?
No. I don't know. I mean, I'll show him your passport, the stamp, when you get a visa and a coin.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right.
Prove that. I have some money right here, some Jordanian money right in front of me.
Oh, anybody can get that.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I would do that.
Someone came in chat that, real quick. Someone came in chat, and they said, hi, Rob. They're talking to another person in chat. And Robbie goes, are you listening? And the person goes, listening to what? So people are in here just trying to hook up in our chat room. They don't even know about the Rob and Joe show.
They're going trying to find Gramps. I want to get back to Quaid here in a second. But real quick, Robbie, did you do anything for Mother's Day with your mother-in-law?
Of course. We took her out on Saturday and on Sunday.
Is that a tradition in Taiwan?
No, because my girlfriend's cousins had other plans on Sunday, so they wanted to get together with her on Saturday, and then we also took her out on Mother's Day to an Asian restaurant, shocker.
Okay. Now, did you buy her a present?
We got her a card.
Come on, dude. You didn't get her anything?
Not any official Mother's Day gift, no.
Hey, do you sign the card, love?
Yes.
Ooh. Do you sign it to mom?
I didn't sign it to anyone. My girlfriend wrote in Chinese on the top, and then I wrote it in English on the bottom.
Have you ever taken
call her by her first name, or do you say ma'am?
I call her mom.
Can you pronounce her first name? What is it?
I could if I could remember exactly. I could say her Chinese name. Yes.
Okay.
But I call her mama.
You call her mama. Mm-hmm.
You're 50, Robbie.
So weird.
That's mama. The correct. Mama.
Is she like, why is this guy calling me mama?
No, she likes it.
What does she call you?
Rob.
Oh, man. Is she going to meet Gramps?
She has met Gramps.
Did he hit on her?
Yeah.
He did say she was beautiful. And
you said it. Sexy mama.
Of course.
Have you taken her to P.F. Chang's yet?
No, we don't like P.F. Chang's.
All right.
Oh,
you don't like P.F. Chang's.
Jeez, what's wrong with you?
We went
like P.F. Chang's. Is awesome. Are you out of your Chick-fil-A. Mind?
I know. It's incredible.
We went to He Bean, and I highly recommend He Bean. It was
okay. I got you. But for a chain, you're saying you don't like P.F. Chang's?
No. P.F. Chang's is overpriced, and for me, it's not very good.
Well, Mongolian beef is not amazing.
Yeah, but he loves these shit buffets that are found all around town.
I'm telling you, if I'm going to go out for Chinese food, I'm not going to go to a chain restaurant. I'm going to go get real Chinese food. I can't.
Robbie, you go to those shit buffets all the time with the fucking shit crab legs and all that.
That's different.
What do you mean that's different?
The buffet is not. I'm not going for Chinese food to the buffet.
Okay, well, you're going for the amazing Jell-O? What? Why are you there at a Chinese food buffet?
Because the variety.
Man, Robert, you really bend your narrative, man. All right, P.F. Chang's buffets are awesome.
If I'm specifically going out for Chinese food, I've gotten accustomed to going to the real Chinese restaurants, the place where I'm the only white guy in the place. I like those places now, and it's hard for me to eat.
Oh, so you're a Chinese food snob now.
I have become a Chinese food snob, yes.
What do you order at these special Chinese food places?
Salt and pepper chicken, three pepper chicken. What's the other big one? I can't think of the other one.
Egg rolls, all the shit they have at P.F. Chang's.
Yeah, but say you're not really saying any. I thought you were going to say some dish that you can't find anywhere else. I get the General Tso's.
No, I hate the
spring roll. My point is, Robbie, that shit's right number five on a regular menu.
I'm telling you, you have not tasted real Chinese food.
Well, I've definitely had salt and pepper and chicken. I can tell you that millions of times.
Bad news.
Have you had three pepper chicken, Jeff?
Breaking in. Hold on, breaking in. Just got a text from Tim Moran. Sorry, guys. I got to watch the game. We got this on lock. I guarantee you win. Probably 5 points. Keith Morris, he doesn't call him Markeith, has a great game. Of course, Wall and Beal do their part. So breaking news, Wizards will lose badly tonight. Sorry, continue.
All right. Well, you know what? It was a good season, Wizards. It was a good season.
We had a good run. And salt and pepper chicken, that crazy exotic Chinese dish.
Have you had three pepper chicken
with salt and pepper on it? No, I don't know what I've had. I've had whatever they have at places.
Three pepper chicken. You haven't had it.
All right. No, I'll get right on it. So if you salt and pepper calamari. They got that at the P.F. Chang's. If you went to P.F. Chang's and you asked them for all these things, would you try to be that snooty guy? Excuse me, but do you have blah, blah, blah?
No.
That was a question, Rob.
I found myself much like Robbie. I went to order Chinese food across the street yesterday for Mother's Day. I took food to Gramps and his wife, and me and Katie went over there. They, when you go on there to find out to their website to order online, there's a coupon available on their website. It's a special page you click, and it's a coupon. Okay? So I order the food, and I go over there, and I say, and I have this coupon. The guy goes, you have to print it out. Okay? So I go, what? Why? You put it on your site as a special coupon. He goes, sorry, we have to account for it. I go, well, what do you mean account for it? He goes, well, I have to prove it if I gave the discount. I go, sir, see that lady? This lady was 2 feet from him. I go, this is a picture of her on the website. She's the owner. You know what I'm saying? The person that you need to prove it to, I have a picture of her. She's standing next to you.
Nothing.
Didn't get the discount. No, couldn't get it. And I didn't rob it. I still wanted my food, so I paid. But I was very upset that I saw the lady. That's what really bugged me. I saw her. She was standing.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And I definitely want to talk about Joe Robinson in Kuwait, because it is sort of hard to believe. Robin Joseph, be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
When Sean and Tom and Eric and I were in Jordan, one of the things that we did have a conversation about was, I just can't see Joe ever doing this or being here. And it just didn't seem like something you would do. And here you are agreeing to go to Kuwait, which, by the way, looking at the average temperature in June, 109 to 113 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, what am I? What, tell me why I wouldn't go. It isn't because of the fact that I have a day job. That's really the only reason that would keep me from there. Why wouldn't I go do that?
It just seems like you're not, you don't do well with being out of your environment.
I think you're wrong about me. I think I'm going to thrive.
Okay, well, who would you rank? Because we're going to have, I don't know this for a fact, but I mean, there's a chance that we all could be in the same room, giant room sleeping, or we could have roommates. But rank who you'd want a roommate from first most likely to least likely you'd like to desire a roommate with.
You one, Justin two. Please. The other two are really going to fuck with you.
Those are the snorers. The farters and the snorers.
Yeah. And they're also going to fuck with you.
Yes.
It's really too close to call. Whoever I said after that, it wouldn't matter. Who snores worse? Do you know?
I think Tommy's the worst. Eric would always say that it's a race to get to sleep first. So he can sleep when they're with Tommy. He's with Tommy.
Then I would go, yeah, Eric, then Tommy. But I, you know, those two are a wash. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a chance. I've been in situations where we're all together. We're in our own bed, but we're not. There's no walls between us. Just in a giant or in a room.
By the way, I also snore. You know that I snore. So whoever's with me is screwed.
Yeah.
But if I lay on my stomach, I'm good to go.
Well, I also sometimes I'm able to sleep because I'm tired and drunk, and I won't be able to do that here because it's a dry country. There's not going to be any alcohol. So I can't pass out from that, which sometimes is what you need to do is sleep in a less than desirable situation. So I don't have that ability.
Do we have air conditioning?
No, they just couldn't see you doing it. Yeah, there'll be air conditioning. No, they'll be fine. There'll be plenty of water and stuff. You'll be constantly drinking water.
There's no alcohol. There's nothing that can help us, that can affect us. We're just straight going to bed.
Well, you can take a sleeping pill.
Sleeping pill, yeah, you can do that. Okay. Yeah.
Course, take NyQuil or melatonin. I mean, but you are going to be tired. I mean, it's a long trip and you're not there long enough to get rested. You're going to get tired and stay tired.
How long is the flight?
The one I'm trying to get is 16 hours. It's basically like a 13 hours to Qatar, Doha. And then an hour or 2 hour layover, then like an hour and a half flight to Kuwait. It's not bad.
What kind of seats are there? Is it all like big seats, or are you just flying like Southwest the whole way there?
There's no big seats. I mean, you'll have, it depends on how crowded it is, obviously. But if it's not crowded, you'll be able to move around and at least get no one next to you. But you'll have a TV screen in front of you that'll have, you know, hundreds of hours of movies and TV to watch and stuff. So you'll have things to do. But, right. I mean, it's a long flight, so.
By the way, Robbie is talking in chat. He loves Chipotle. He hates Chick-fil-A, loves Chipotle, hates P.F. Chang's, likes Chinese buffets. All right. Just want to make sure I'm understanding where it's right. Okay, right. Go ahead.
Can you eat airplane food? I mean, you're kind of a picky eater.
No. Of course I can eat airplane food. No. I don't know. Where does this impression of me come? I mean, I never have problems finding things to eat. I just eat crap. Crap's always available. It's only going to be a vegetable loaf. Yeah, there's all kinds. I'll eat the Ritz. I'll eat the pretzels. Yeah.
The food is not bad. You'll have plenty of food to eat.
You can drink on the plane, right?
Well, because we're flying into Qatar, which you can drink. So, yeah, you'll be able to drink on the plane. Probably not the flight to Kuwait, but that's the short flight. The long flight, yes.
That is crazy. So you can't get any alcohol in the entire country?
No. I mean, not legally.
What happens if somebody gets caught drinking in Kuwait? What happens to them?
They get decapitated. I don't know what happens. It's probably a fine.
I'm going to Google it. Go ahead. A fine? Yeah. They'd risk it.
Yeah. I mean, we can fly. If you want to pay extra, you can fly business class, Joe. Is that what you want to do? Get more room on the plane? Relax?
What is the penalty for drinking in Kuwait?
I don't know. Maybe we can bring your Katie's dad so he can believe us.
Yeah, we might have to. Hold on. I'm an old man, so I'm old man typing. Drinking Kuwait.
All right, we're going to... Ready? Wrap this show up.
We gotta find this out. Hold on. So,
I got a couple more topics.
What is the penalty for drinking in Kuwait?
Scott Berkson says castration.
See, if he's not gonna be serious, All right, this is gonna have to be part of the bonus show because I can't.
or something. You can just Google.
I'm on TripAdvisor. I don't know what the hell's happening here.
Hey, I have some notes here about a house underwater. What's that about?
So Katie and I are buying a house. I don't know if you guys know that.
A house underwater?
Well, we didn't plan on that, but we went, we're searching for homes, and there's a house in Annapolis, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They're showing the inside of it. I'm like, what the hell is the catch? It's $399,999. And it looks like it's a $700,000, $800,000 home. We don't understand it. And it ends up it's underwater, so that's the problem.
It's not actually underwater. It's
the house is underwater. So
you don't mean financially. You mean
the house
underwater?
It's Atlantis. So this house is on this house is on these. It's built on these pillars or pylons or whatever that are probably, 6 feet in the air, and there is 2 feet of water. There's basically a moat that horseshoes around the house. And here's what happens. So it's an open house, but we can't go in because the person who was selling it drove up, saw that it was underwater. Like, fuck this. Nobody's going to buy this thing.
No,
they have to screw somebody. Meaning there has to be like a drought, you know, it has to be 30 days without rain in order to clear this out. And then some sucker is going to be like, what's this? Why is this price so low? And they're going to buy this house. And then it's going to rain one time. And I'm telling you, it is 2 feet of water that surrounds this beautiful home. I'm going to send you a picture of it. But yeah, they did. Thank God, by the way, because we would have been the people. We wouldn't have figured it out. We're not smart enough.
Well, no, you wouldn't have.
But I'm not. No, we would have gone there. We would have thought we're stealing these people's house. And then we were going to buy it. And next thing you know, we have one of those boats with the big fan on the back. But somebody is going to buy that house. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a time period where it doesn't rain. There's some sort of drought. People are saying, don't water your lawn. It's too dangerous. And they're going to clear that thing out. And somebody's going to be like, oh, my God, my dream home. And then they're going to pay. But it's underwater. It's on Fishing Creek Road in Arundel on the Bay. If anybody wants to look for it, it is legit underwater. The house, it's you can't walk around your house. It's not like it's not wet. It's
well, couldn't they just
water?
Can't you? I mean, how much to renovate it to rise it up out of to make it higher off the ground?
Because there's houses on both sides. Nobody's going to give you a permit to take the water out of your yard and throw it into other people's yards. This is where you live. You live in the swamp. It looks like an episode of Survivor. I'm not kidding. I guarantee you, there are just snakes. And you could just go back there like the botanical gardens. I mean, it's a swamp. The house is in a swamp.
When Tawana and I were looking for houses, there was this one that we kept seeing kind of similar to what you were talking about. It looks great, and the prices, you can't believe how cheap it is. It was this townhouse in Elkridge, an end unit, and the kitchen was beautiful. Everything was new. And it was like $50,000, $60,000 less than anything else. And we're like, what the hell? So we go check it out, and you drive, your parking spot is like 2 feet from the door, which was weird that you're almost driving into the house. And then we get there, it's right by the highway. There's train tracks in the backyard. We were there 10 minutes. We heard cars drive by, a train went by, and then an airplane flew over. It was total planes, trains, and automobiles. Literally 10 minutes, we see all those three of those things. We're like, you know what? That's why this thing is $60,000 below market price.
I always think about this guy who built his house. I mean, he didn't. Obviously, he knew or she knew that this house had to be put up. I mean, the house is lifted into the air. It's up in the air. And so he had to know that his house was underwater. He had to know it. But I guess he's like, look, I'm going to build my dream home. This is the lot I own. And now he's like, oh, shit. I don't know what happened to him. He had to move, I guess. I keep saying he. It could be Oprah Winfrey for all I know. But
I bet you it isn't.
I'll bet you're right. But anyway, so if you could check that out. It's funny because in the picture, it's not underwater. I'm like, well, what are they, Photoshop
this? Of course
not.
They're gonna...
Did Robbie get a hold of this? Again, it's not wet.
It's like
it's 2 feet of water.
It's like a dating profile.
Yes. It's just like when Robbie got those pictures with Scott Apple, where Scott Apple was standing on a box next to him.
Knowing music, yeah. all right, I guess that's the show. Hey, we have a new venue for the murder mystery. We just booked it with our buddy Ramin. It's in Lorton at the Workhouse Arts Center. I've done comedy there several times. It's formerly the Lorton Prison. June 24th, that's a Saturday. Two shows, 6:30 and 9. It'll be up on the Die Laughing Productions.com website soon.
Can't wait.
Literally,
20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect for you. We're going to do the Newly Dead game, two shows there. And literally, people used to be in that building for having committed murder. And now we're going to be doing a murder mystery there and laughing. And that's a good thing, right? So I know we have people that listen to the show that live out in the closer to that part of Northern Virginia. So come check us out June 24th. Of course, we got the DC Improv June 21st. I'll be up in Syracuse at the Funny Bone coming up here June 8 to 11, doing the murder mystery on the 11th, and back at the Bright Box July 1st in beautiful Winchester, Virginia.
Hey, quick update. You know, of course, former show announcer Tim Texas, he is watching the game. Boston currently ahead of the Wizards, 15-14.
Yep. Well, it was 8-2, Boston. So the Wizards will come back. So maybe Tim turned it off real quick or something. Anyway, they have no chance now. Fuck you, Tim. Good show, guys. See you next week.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.